Praise be to God. You know, we really never got a chance to finish Tuesday's Bible study, but that's cool. Because God knows. And one of the things we were talking about is maintaining. Maintaining. Would you turn to Matthew 16, please? You know, in maintaining, there is a just reward. The Bible tells us that whatever you sow, you reap. That's a just reward, isn't it? And in Matthew 16, there's something very specifically he says, which is the formula he gives us. And we were talking about a just reward, but today I want to talk about maintain position. Maintain position. And it's vitally important that we maintain position, especially where we're at right now. You know, God places strategically. There's a positioning. We have many teachings about positioning and about how the enemy tries to push us out of position, lead us out of position, deceive us out of position. But positioning in the kingdom of God is rank. It's in a rank. In other words, we are not sent into this world for religious mission. We are sent into this world for a military operation. Does everybody got this? This is a military process. This is not some religious thing. Jesus is the commander-in-chief, not of some religious thing. He's the commander-in-chief of the army. And in the army, there is rank. There's a place of position. Amen? And in this, he gave us a formula on how to maintain. And we have talked about this many times, and people talk about it. And you know, but so many times we look at it in such a nonchalant way, not realizing that this place that he gives us is a matter of life and death and the attributes associated with it. In Matthew 16, in verse 24, first of all, in verse 23, he's talking to Peter. And Peter tells Jesus, he says, "Man, let me tell you something, Lord. Nobody's going to get to you unless they get through me first." Peter was a little fleshy. And Jesus rebuked him and said, "Get behind me, Satan." And in verse 23 he says, "But he turned and said to Peter, 'Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men.'" So he was thinking carnally because Jesus was there to fulfill a military operation, not a religious one. But Peter was trying to prevent him because Peter was thinking naturally. He wasn't thinking according to what God was thinking. And after Jesus rebukes him and he says, "Get behind me, Satan. You are an offense to me, for you are not mindful of the things of God, but the things of men." And he says something very powerful in the next verse because he's saying, this is the difference between people who are mindful of man and mindful of me. He says, "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me," which is the formula. Amen? So it's very powerful. He says, "Man, you want to be mindful of the things of me? Then you must deny yourself. Take off the old. Pick up the cross, put on the new, and follow me. Obey." It's real simple. And in this, he has an area of strategic plan for each and every one of us in a place of position. See, when people are not maintaining, they fall out of position. And when we fall out of position, we are an open door to the enemy. He has access to me and you. He has access to our finances. He has access to our health. He has access to our families. He's got access to everything when we are out of position. So there's a place that, in other words, there's a just reward for following this formula, and there is a place where we maintain position. And to maintain position is vitally important. Why? Because when we maintain position, we are in right standing with God. See, so in this position, not only are we right standing with God, but we are advancing the kingdom. If we're not advancing the kingdom, we're not in position. and we're not following the formula that he's already given us to maintain. Amen? Go to Ephesians 6. Ephesians chapter 6. Oh, hallelujah. Everybody knows Ephesians 6, I hope. If you don't, you need to. Ephesians 6, 10. Let's read it together. Ephesians 6, 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Well, how are you going to be strong in the Lord and the power of his might if you're not fulfilling the formula he's given us? That is the place. Deny yourself. Pick up the cross and follow him. Or else you'll be strong in yourself. You'll try to be. And that's where frustration comes. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. And it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles or the trickery of the devil. Why? Because the devil is trying to snare you. He's trying to get you out of position. He's trying to prevent you from fulfilling the formula. Now, there's something very important about this formula. It says something, one word that is vitally important. It's called daily. Daily. Deny yourself. Daily, pick up the cross. Daily, follow. This is not a one-time event. This is a lifetime event. This is every single day of your life if you want to be a disciple. One of the things that happens is many people don't even get dressed with the full armor of God. He says, listen, actually here. Finally, brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may stand against. 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 Because if you don't have the full armor of God, you cannot stand against. You are already deceived. Why? Because you didn't even put it on. So if you didn't put it on, you've already bitten the bait. Does everybody got this? If you didn't put on the full armor of God today, you have already been deceived. Because the only way to overcome is to put on the full armor. Or you will not fulfill the full, perfect will of God. You can't. It's impossible. So here we go again. We deny ourselves. We take off the old. We put on the new. Pick up the cross. Putting on the new. It's getting filled. Getting dressed. You're putting on the new. You're putting on Christ. That's what the armor of God is. Putting on Christ. And you must confess it. You don't think it. You confess it. Nothing happens without you speaking it. That's how things get activated. That's why prayer is speaking, not thinking. That's why when Jesus was in the wilderness, he didn't think the devil away. He spoke him away. Amen? So you get dressed. I go every morning to the Lord. Lord, dress me. Not only do I ask him to dress me with his presence and power and love, I ask him to dress me with the full armor, and I mention every part of the full armor of God. So in this, look at it, in verse 12, it says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, and against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. So we must understand that your fight is not against man. It's against the devil. It's not against your spouse. It's not against your boss. It's not against your pastor. It's not against the church. It's not against anything. It's against you and the devil. And if you're focused on anything else than that, you're already deceived. And you're already out of position. Come on, grab hold of this today, because this is vital, especially in the days that we're at and what we're getting ready to get into. It won't get easier, it will get more difficult. Deception is Satan's greatest weapon, and his power is fear. So if you're not putting on the full armor of God, you're already deceived.
Well, I just don't believe that.
Of course you won't. You have a spirit of unbelief. See, flawed belief causes flawed perception. When your belief system is flawed, and that's what the enemy tries to do, he tries to flaw your belief system. Well, I don't really need that. He tries to bring compromise, complacency, laziness. Well, the Lord knows my heart. That's a religious spirit. I really don't need to do those things. Well, that's just plumb stupid. And when you agree with those things, you pick up a deaf and dumb spirit who begins to blind you and deaf you. Remember, these spirits are trying to re-access you. And one of the things that begins to happen, then divine order has been taken out of order. Now it's your order, not God's order. Well, I believe it's God's order. I believe this. I believe. But your belief system is flawed. So your perception is flawed. And this is what the enemy does. Remember, his greatest weapon is deception and his power is fear. And God is always trying to expose him if we're hearing and seeing. That's his job. That's our job. In 1 John chapter 5. Remember, this is not a game. This is not a religious thing. This is a military operation. We are in a war. And the word war means what?
Wrath
against rebellion. And that's what God's war is. It's wrath, his wrath, against rebellion. We are in a war against rebellion. And you must fight rebellion in every area. Every day. Every morning you wake up, the devil's at the end of your bed with a list of what you need to do. See, we're on his property. Does everybody got it? That's why we must change the atmosphere. That's why we must take the land. That's why we must be first strikers. You're not going to be a first striker if you're not putting on the armor of God, because you're not even thinking about battle. You're thinking about yourself, your paycheck, and everything else. Your future. That's a bummer. I'm in my future. I'm from the future. I forgot where we were at. We were somewhere. We were somewhere, and I was sitting down somewhere, and this guy was saying something, and I said, "I'm from the future." He said, "Yeah." Oh, we were at a restaurant. He was the waiter. He was like, his name was Eli. I said, "Eli. Well, you got a lot to live up to, brother." He looked at me like, "What?" I said, "Yeah, man, I'm from the future." He says, "Oh, really? What have you been drinking?" I told him, "Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. He says, "We have a new wine out." I said, "Man, I've been drinking new wine for years." He didn't know what to do with me. Hallelujah. 1 John chapter 5. Oh, praise God. Actually, let's go to, let's go to 5. That's good. Verse 18. It says, "We know," is everybody there? "That whoever is born of God does not sin." In other words, the word sin means presence of evil. So we're not associating with the presence of evil. If you are born of God, you're not associating with the presence of evil. Everybody got it? The word transgression means you've associated with the presence of evil and you've obeyed them. You made the act. And iniquity means that after you've made the act, you brought a curse not only yourself but your family line. It says, "We know that who is ever born of God does not associate with the presence of evil. But he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him." I said touch him. I didn't say he wouldn't speak to you, because that's how he gets you to touch you. First, he speaks to you. Didn't he do that with Eve? He spoke to her every time she walked by the tree. "Hey, Evie." "Huh? You talking to me? I'm not supposed to talk to you. Come on, man."
Let's get a conversation going here. I'm alone.
And she walked by days. Adam wouldn't even get near the tree. He didn't walk by. And then he finally got her. And she had a conversation with him. And that was it. See, he who has been born of God keeps himself, and the wicked one does not touch him. Even Eve said to the serpent, "We can't eat of your tree, nor touch it." Yet she already touched it. Why? By communicating with it. When he said, "Hey," and she said, "What?" That touched it. Does everybody got it? Verse 19, we know that we are of God, and the whole world lies under the sway of the what? The wicked one. Hello, the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. What's he trying to do? Prevent you from fulfilling what God said, which will protect us. Deny yourself. Take off the old, pick up the cross, put on the new, and obey. Follow him. So in this again, put on the full armor of God. Pray. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Surrender your will. Remember, the world is under the sway of the evil one. His greatest weapon is deception. And if you're not doing these things, you're already deceived. You've already touched. And he's already touched you. You've already touched. You're already contaminated now. See, now people may see it and you may not. But when you're inconsistent, you're not disciplined, your desire no longer is that God's presence, your desire is your will. That's your fulfillment. See, he replaces fulfillment. That's what the enemy does. In Galatians chapter 5. Verse 16, would you speak it with me? Galatians 5:16. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, when you're in the flesh, are you fulfilling the formula? No, it's impossible. It's because you didn't fulfill the formula. Well, God's not a formula, God. Oh, really? He says, if you do this, he'll do that, right? I would say that's a formula. What you sow is what you reap. These are called spiritual laws, okay? If you don't like the word formula, it's a spiritual law. It's a recipe for some of you bakers. I say, then walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do what you wish or what you desire or what you believe. Because if your belief system is flawed, your perception is. So everybody got it. But if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because if you're in the flesh, you're under the law. Remember, it is the ministry of the Spirit. So if it's the ministry of the Spirit, it's the ministry of the anointing. And if you're not walking in the anointing, which is the anointing is what the Bible tells us the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That's what the formula is for. So that you maintain position in the anointing. Jesus told them that. The gates of hell will not prevail. Amen? And in the anointing, it's actually known as the tabernacle. But we're not going to get into all of that. So walking in the Spirit is walking in the anointing, isn't it? So we must maintain the position of walking in the anointing. And how do we maintain that position? Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. That means you must do specific things to deny yourself. So you're not first. The only reason, the only thing that you're first in is to deny yourself. Does everybody got it? If you're not first in denying yourself, then the devil is first in promoting yourself. I'm going to say that again. If you're not first in denying yourself, then the devil is first in promoting yourself. And if he can promote yourself, you are in the flesh. No matter how spiritual you think you are, no matter how many people you feed, no matter how many people you help, it won't be accounted. Because only the things in the spirit are accounted. See, people get fulfilled for works instead of relationship. Oh, hallelujah. Acts 10. Again, we've heard so many times about deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. But there is such deepness in that saying that Jesus said, if you want to be a disciple, in other words, if you want to be like me. This is where sonship and daughter are established. Has everybody got it? If it's not there, then it's about self. It's all about self. And God does not associate with self because self is the offspring of darkness. He associates with his new child. In Acts chapter 10, in verse 37, the word you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God what? How God what? Anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were what? Oppressed by who? The devil, for God was with them. Oppressed by the devil. Oppressed by the devil. The sway of the devil. Remember, we're on his territory. We're on his territory. The reason why people backslide is because the enemy convinces an individual not to get dressed with the full armor of God, not to maintain. Has everybody got it? Not to deny self, not to take off the old, put on the new, and obey or follow. The next thing that begins to happen, see, when we rebel, we become prideful. Rebellion is witchcraft. So you open up yourself to all kinds of influence. Well, I'll get dressed tomorrow. Oh, I was dressed yesterday, God knows. I don't need to do it today. You bit the bait. You're deceived. You can expect pride to begin to manifest. And pride does go before a fall. See, falling, the Bible tells us that many will fall from the faith. Falling has nothing to go, isn't about just going back into the world. Falling means you fell from the will of God. You're doing yours now. That's a fall. When you choose to do your will and not God's will, that's falling. Is everybody okay? So the only way that you and I can overcome, the gates of hell cannot prevail against the anointing, so we must stay in the Spirit because it's the ministry of the Spirit, which is a ministry of the anointing, and he's given us the spiritual law already, or the formula. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him. Then you'll be a disciple of his. And a disciple is an overcomer. A disciple is a witness. A disciple expresses his character. These are his disciples. They do not live for themselves, they live for him. They don't die for self, they die to self. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. Oh, hallelujah. Again, this is vitally important because the flood isn't even here yet. but it's coming. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 24. Jesus was speaking to the church of Thyatira. And in verse 24, he says, "Now to you I say, and to the rest of Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden." Why? Because you and I should know the depths of Satan. We should know his strategies. We served him. We should know that we're not fighting flesh and blood. We should know that the influence from the unseen realm is trying to get us out of position. It's trying to promote pride. Trying to promote self. We should know this and be prepared to battle against it. Because his doctrine is rebellion. That's what his doctrine is. His doctrine promotes rebellion. That's why there's a war, wrath against rebellion. In verse 25, he says, "But what? Hold fast what you have till I come. And he who overcomes and keeps my works until the end, to him I will give power over the nations. He shall rule them with a rod of iron. They shall be dashed to pieces like a potter's vessel. As I also have received from my Father, I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." Again, that is a place of position and authority. If you are not positioned correctly, you do not have authority. Does everybody got it? Why? Because if you're not submitted to authority, you have none. And I hear many people say, "Well, I can submit to God, but to man, I'm not going to." Well, if you're not submitting to the government that God has placed on the earth, you're not submitting to God. And you will have no authority, and you'll be stuck where you are to the day you die, if that's what you choose to do. Or you can humble yourself and come out of yourself and quit depending on yourself as your provider and your own self-satisfaction and fulfiller, and get back in position. Positioning is essential, and that's what the enemy does. His purpose is to reposition us so that we will not deny ourselves. Listen, he loves to flatter and puff you up. Yeah, man, I mean, you can, let me tell you, you don't realize how many people are of the dark realm. Even the Bible says that Satan's righteous ministers, he's got righteous ministers. Satan himself comes as an angel of light. I hear all kinds of things preached. It blows me away. You know, as a believer of Jesus Christ and a follower of the Lord, if he's Lord over your life, if he truly is Lord over your life and you're not just using him to be saved, he's either Savior or Lord. "Oh, he's my Lord, yeah." I hear a lot of people, "Oh, yeah, he's my Lord, but I still do what I want." Then he's not your Lord. Because when he's really your Lord, you don't have a life. Either or not, you're just using him as a Savior and trying to fill your pockets and do your own will for your own self-satisfaction. What's ever fulfilling? Which is Satan's doctrine, do what thy feel like. But there is a difference. And this is what separates the goat from the sheep. Goats are rebellious. Sheep lay down their life. I hear many people say things. I hear preachers say things. It's disgusting to me. They promote same-sex marriage. They promote abortion. You got a lot of revs on TV. It blows me away. "I'm Reverend Rutzelsnipe." Yeah, you're a reverend idiot. That's what you are. And you're going to burn in hell till you turn, Revy. There's only one reverend, and that's him. That's it. Only one. And in this, we've got to be sensitive. We must have discernment. But let me tell you, that's not going to come. You won't be sensitive to things. You won't have discernment to the things. You won't be sensitive to the things of the devil. You won't be sensitive to the things of God. You'll just do what you feel like, which is Satan's doctrine. Unless you're willing to deny yourself. Remove the old, put on the new, and follow and obey. Go to 1 Chronicles chapter 12. 1 Chronicles 12. Again, we are in a military operation. This is not some soulish agenda, fleshly agenda. This is a military operation with the anointing and the eternal presence, power, and truth is the anointing of God Almighty. Amen? 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Is everybody there? This is very powerful. Look at this here. In verse 38, it says now, 1 Chronicles chapter 12 and verse 38, all these men of war who could keep what? How are you going to keep rank? By using the formula or the spiritual law of deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow. All these men of war who could keep rank came to Hebron with a what? Loyal heart. To make David king over all Israel and all the rest of Israel were of one mind to make David king. Again, God is looking for loyal hearts. If your heart is not loyal, you can tell it by the fruit. Why? Because if you're not denying yourself, picking up the cross and following him, you are not a loyal individual. But, that's the but ministry. We're the head, not the tail. You can keep all the but ministry you want. You can butt yourself right to hell. Hopefully you'll butt yourself into the arena where somebody else is going to knock off your butt. Or kick you in the butt. So you finally wake up. You know, in this, people are falling asleep. Many believers who started right are now falling asleep. And they're falling asleep because the enemy is drugging them. It's called the drink of Babylon. He's drugging them. He's drugging them with lust. He's drugging them with self. He's drugging them with pride. He's drugging them with fame and success. Hey, there's nothing wrong with prosperity. I believe every believer should be a millionaire. Nothing wrong with that. As long as it's done correctly. Amen? It's not as long as you're... Look, as long as you're not building your kingdom, you're building his. Hey, he's only asking for 10 to 20%. He could ask for 90%. So we're to keep rank with a loyal heart. And there's only one way to do that. Deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow him, right? In Luke 14. Is everybody okay? Luke 14. In verse 25. Now great multitudes went out with Jesus, and he turned and they said to them. So all these multitudes are there. He sees all of these people there, and he turns around and he says something powerful. He says, you want to follow me? If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. This hatred is not an evil hatred. This is a hatred that says, I can't allow anything to get between me and God. In other words, he is first. He's what? He's first. In other words, here it is, real simple. God in relationship and God's will. That's what it is. You know, many people go, what's God and family in this? Listen, there's many women and many men who want to have a godly husband and a godly wife. And they complain because God is first. Even though they say, well, I want one that God's first. I want a husband that God is first and he loves God more than me. When it happens, they complain. Pastor, I just don't get it. They don't pay attention to me no more. Well, you got a godly man. You little flesh creature. Why don't you put God first and get your fulfillment from him? Your husband can't fulfill you anyways. And I get men, oh, I want a godly woman that loves God before me. All right. Pastor, you know, my wife doesn't love me anymore. Why is that? Well, she doesn't pay any attention to me. Where is she? She's in her prayer closet. Hallelujah, she's paying attention. She's praying for you, you idiot. And your fulfillment, you're trying to get from her. Listen, husby, wifey, you can't fulfill one another. Only he can fulfill you. That's it. And if you're not married to him, your marriage is going to have troubles. I get a lot of people, yes, I met this person, beautiful Christian, oh, wonderful. Did you sleep with him? Yeah, but that's all. You know, I just wanted to tell you how wonderful. It's not a Christian. Christ-like purity. Submit to God, resist the devil. Real simple. You know, a lot of people don't want to bring things to the office because they know what's going to be said. So they just take their own counsel. Well, I'll just take my own counsel. I believe Pastor would approve it, and then I can tell everybody Pastor approved it. They come into my office, they tell me what they're going to do. They never even ask what's what. They leave, and they tell everybody Pastor approves it. Yeah, Pastor approved this marriage. Oh, really? It's amazing. You came in and told me what you were going to do. You know, people need to see things all the way through and find out who they're associated with. The Bible says, know who you labor with. Oh, hallelujah. Again, I want to share with you, it's maintain the relationship with him is number one. Number two is do his will, not your family. I get that all the time. Well, you know, you're supposed to have your family. Listen, man, it says hate my wife. Hate my children. Hate my... Hate them. They're not number one. That's why we must sever emotional attachments with them. People are so soulish. There's a difference between the ministry of the spirit and the ministry of the soul. It is totally opposite. And they are contrary to one another. I can tell you that. Psalm 19. Oh, hallelujah. In verse 7. Psalm 19, verse 7. Is everybody there? Is everybody okay? Are you getting this? Good. If your neighbor doesn't get it, slap them. Ask your neighbor if they're getting it. Praise God. I didn't say in the face now. In Psalm 19, in verse 7, let's speak it together. The law of the Lord is what? Perfect, converting the what? Okay, so can we call, deny yourself, pick up the cross and follow a spiritual law? So is the law perfect?
Yes.
Hmm. Good. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. In other words, taking dominion over it, converting it from the soulish arena of carnality and the ways of this world so that the emotions are no longer fluffy. They are peace, joy, and righteousness in the Holy Spirit. Does everybody got it? We're not just an area of soulish ministry. We are in a ministry of the Spirit now. Does everybody got it? Not foo-foo. We are not foo-fooed. The testimony of the Lord is what? Sure, making what? Wise is simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is what? Clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are what? True and righteous altogether. Look at, more to be desired are they than what? Than gold. That means money, okay? Yes, more than what? Fine gold. More worthy things. Sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is what? He's what? He's what? Warned. And in keeping them there is what? How many of y'all want a great reward? Well, then you're going to have to follow the formula and that law. Why? Because it will cause you to maintain position, to overcome. Colossians 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 18. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. Let no one cheat you of your reward. Oh. Taking delight in false humility and worship of angels. In other words, all of this is just stinky religion. Intruding into those things which he has not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding fast to the head. To the head. In other words, not in submission, not priority. They've lost priority. They're no longer denying self, picking up the cross and following. They're out of divine order, and they're not maintaining position. And not holding fast to the head, from whom all the body, nourished and knit together by joints and ligaments, grows with the increase that is from God. Essential. The enemy is trying to cheat us from our reward. And if he can put, listen, it doesn't work, follow, deny yourself, pick up the cross. It doesn't work that way. It works, deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. You cannot change that order in any way whatsoever. That's what's called divine order. Amen? And the Word tells us, go to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4:17. Is everybody there? Let's speak it together. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of who? You might as well say no longer walk as the rest of the world. In the futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened and being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance, or we can call stupidity, that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling, have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. In other words, he's saying, look it, you and I are no longer to walk according to the way of the world. With pride. See, pride produces separation, rebellion, and death. Pride will produce separation, distance. It will allow rebellion to fluster in you, infiltrate, and take dominion, and its end result will cause you death. We're to expose, aren't we? We're to expose the enemy. Has everybody got it? We're to expose darkness. We're to expose the deceivers that are trying to cheat us from our reward. We're to expose those things. Has everybody got it? You know, the world lives for self. That's why the Bible tells us that the love of money is the root of all evil. Because the world lives for itself. Money is priority. Money is their God. They believe that success and fame is what identifies them. Because the world does not have identity. They don't have any identity except for what they possess. I have identity because of who possesses me. There's a difference. In this, if we maintain that law, we will constantly deny ourselves. In other words, we don't want the world's identity. I'm no longer identified with the world. I have an identity that was predestined for me, and that's in this image, likeness, and character. I am a son of God. And you are his sons and daughters. When you begin to look at yourself anything different, you're out of order. You're out of position. And you're deceived. And it's just a matter of time. In Revelation 22, and we'll close here. Revelation 22 and verse 8. Maintain position. So you can see, receive your just reward. By maintaining divine law, divine order, and denying yourself, picking up the cross and following. You know, when we stand before the Lord, he doesn't have to say anything. His purity and truth will rip right through us and we'll go, oh God, I can't believe I did that. I didn't do that. I did. You know, I don't know if you've ever seen Schindler's List, the movie. And I encourage people to watch that. And at the end of the movie, it's, you know, I saw it years ago when I was a believer, when I first got saved. And one of the things that hit me the most was, here was a man with wealth. He had all kinds of money and all kinds of power. And he began to utilize people just to build his empire. Then he began to love people. And as he began to love people, he tried to save people, tried to save them from the furnaces, from the death and the torture, and he saw much. God began to turn his heart, and then he began to buy people, but he was running out of money. Established a factory that wasn't producing anything. And when the war ended, he was devastated. And the devastation that was brought to him was the remembrance of all the wasted time and the wasted money. And that's all he could say was, I could have bought more. I could have bought another soul. I wasted all of that money and all of that time in fulfilling my own empire when I could have bought another one. I could have bought another one from the furnace. I could have bought another one from being raped and killed and tortured. I could have bought another one from having surgery while they were awake. I could have bought another one. And I didn't. It's a terrible regret. And I'm telling you, that affected me. And I don't want to stand before the Lord and say, Lord, I could have told another one. I could have done this. I could have done that. See, what you put your time to is what you'll receive the reward in. the just reward. It'll either be corruption or it'll be life. The reward is what you sow, is what you reap. You know, that's why the Bible says we live by faith, because faith is vision. We see. Faith is not blind. It's not an assumption. Because God told you, you do it. That's called faith.
Oh, I'm just going to do it because I believe. No, that's not faith.
Because God told you is faith. Other than that, it's assumption. And it's different. And the reason why people do that is because they lack relationship and they lack maintaining, denying self, picking up the cross, and following Him. No such thing as blind faith. In Revelation 22 and verse 8, and we'll close here. Let's speak it together. Now I, John, saw and heard these things. And when I heard and saw, I fell to worship before the feet of the angel who showed me these things. And he said to me, see that you do not do that, for I am your fellow servant and your brethren, the prophets, of those who keep the words of this book. Worship God. And he said to me, do not seal the words of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. He who is unjust, let him be unjust still. He who is filthy, let him be filthy still. He who is righteous, let him be righteous still. He who is holy, let him be holy still. And behold, I am coming quickly, and my reward is with me to give to everyone according to his work. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And blessed are those who do his commandments, that they may have the right to the tree of life and may enter through the gates into the city. But outside are dogs. The word dog means demonized individual. Outside are dogs and sorcerers and sexual immoral murderers and idolaters. Whoever loves and practices a lie. I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify to you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him who hears come, and let him who thirsts come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. See, you will drink of the water of life by denying yourself, picking up the cross, and following. Amen? It is the spiritual law. It is a formula to maintain your position and to keep God first. I can only share with you the importance of maintaining in the days we're in and the days that are coming ahead. The choice is yours. Father, we thank you for your word. We are honored and blessed. And again, we ask for your forgiveness in any area where we have fallen out of position, lost our first love, and put other things before you. And Lord, prepare our hearts this morning as we take communion with you. Let there be a restoration, a refreshing, and a restoring. That you will be number one in everything that we do, all of our days, in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen. Amen. God bless.